And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello.
What's that?
That was just a stupid thing.
Well, I'm sure it's stupid. It's not about me, is it?
No.
Not at all.
Oh, me.
All right.
You need to keep it to yourself.
You haters. You haters. You haters.
Welcome to the new One More Thing. This episode, I want to talk about the Jekyll and Hyde inside the Boston Celtics offense. When they get ball movement, when they get player movement, they get good offense. But sometimes they just end up being too stagnant. Let's take a look at the clips.
I know everyone on Twitter, at least, was talking about the three-point drought for you, but I feel like you got the win, and that was so important. For you, does it bother you? I guess about the shooting tonight, and how can you get better going into game six?
Of course it bothers me as a shooter. You want to impact the game that way, but thankfully that's not the only thing that you do out there on the court. I remember the first game of the year against the Lakers, I had a very similar like shooting night, but impact the game other ways. And I remember I said like I played horrible, but I had to kind of define what that looked like in terms of just trying to make the right play, keep things simple. And the fact that, you know, everybody stepped up, Wiggs, JP, you know, Clay hit some big shots. Draymond found his life and his spirit and the way he impacts the game. We could withstand going 9-for-40 as a team and me 0-for-9 and still come away with the win. So obviously, track record says, you know, shoot the ball better next game. And looking forward to that bounce back.
Let's bring DA into the conversation here.
Welcome to Hoop.
Comment is
adjacent on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Turned it on and I heard Shaq with the barbs. Like the most in his bracket, I was transported right back into it. I was like, oh, this is great.
I think I rap better than Shaq.
David Aldridge.
Oh, he's totally playing. Yes. Yes. And then he got their lungs out in front of everybody on TV.
Michael was not your friend.
It was popping in there.
And Marcus Thompson.
I just can't get with this idea of taking 1 hour of content and finding the morsel that might pop and blowing at him.
Hoops adjacent.
Welcome to Hoop 5-4. We have ignition.
And it is another edition of Hoops Adjacent.
The comma is
David Aldridge.
What's up, sir? How are you on this wonderful day?
It is another Hoops Adjacent episode of the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge in D.C.
Oh, I sound now. I sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
And it is another finals edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge on the way to Boston in the Bay. Also on the way to Boston, Marcus Thompson. And our guest this week, my man, our man, we love this guy. He writes for Bleacher Report, podcast for us, worked for the Clippers, the Spurs. Everybody knows Mo Dakil. Mo, thank you for joining us, man.
Thank you for having me. I was very excited to see the text message of like, oh, I get to come on with these guys. I love it. I listen every week. I was like, this is awesome.
Man, oh man.
We're happy to have you. What you mean?
Exactly. Like you're gonna raise the intelligence quotient on this show a few points.
Don't raise the bar. Don't raise the bar. Let's keep it low. Let's keep it low. Make it so it's easier for me to hop over it.
So man, look, we're as we tape this, it's after game five, an odd game, but a Warriors win. And I wondered, like, as I watched the game, I was thinking, God, Boston is really blowing this opportunity, right? Well, you know, Steph's terrible today. He's not making any shots. But then I thought about, was it worse for them to kind of to lose game four? That was an extremely winnable game at home. Rather, you know, because even if they lost this last night, there would have been 3-2 going home, you know. And I just kept thinking about which one was the worst loss for Boston, 4 or 5. And I throw it open to the floor because I think 4 because they were at home. But what would you say?
I got to go 5 just because Curry going 0-for-9 from 3. And listen, he shot well inside the 3-point line, like still had a pretty decent night. Like I think we get caught with the 0-for-9, but this was the game you needed to get.
He was actually pretty good outside of his 3-point shooting.
Yeah, exactly. Like you look at it going like, all right, he wasn't that bad, but you need to take advantage of that. Cause like, what are the odds Curry is going to go 0-for-9 or again,
oh, for anything from three.
And some of them were like pretty good looks where I was like, okay, you got like, I would be this to me. This is the game you have to get. Like game 4, Curry going nuclear kind of deal. Like I'm with you on like, that's a tough loss, but this is the one you look at going like, we got what we wanted defensively. We stopped Curry to a degree and we still can't win this game.
Marcus, have you ever seen him? He was off. He wasn't close on some of those misses last night.
We've seen this a few times. He has these games and he's never missed all of his threes, but he's got some ones in there, right? Right? He's got a few of those. I think the difference in the game, though, was, I mean, I do think maybe he took 9, like 4 of them were forced, right? Mm-hmm. Where him saying, I got to get going, I got to make one.
Right.
But outside of that, he played such a smart game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I do think that, like, normally, and this is the maturation of Steph. Normally, him missing threes like that ruins everything, right? He starts pressing. But you can see him in the fourth quarter. He's drawing a double, making good passes, picking the spots. I mean, he turned into like a floor general. Here's the part that I don't understand. And again, we need your intelligence quotient on this. I keep hearing a lot about Boston blowing it. But what I'm watching is a very choreographed dismantling. They have 3 primary ball handlers. 2 of them cannot go left. And the main one, the point guard, is a bit of a head case. How is this not like a predictable prodding of a glaring weakness that Boston has? To me, it feels like the Warriors have figured out these dudes don't handle pressure well. They aren't that good going left if you force them left. And it's a game plan that somehow the Warriors are able, they have the pieces to put together. But we've got 3 games of it. To me, it looks like if Boston is not making a bunch of threes, they don't really have another option. Why is
that
this
is
not?
That's their knockout, is they just rain threes on you. That is absolutely true.
And look, when they get going,
they did in this game. They hit straight.
It's like unbelievable.
It was comedy. They went like what, 0-for-14 to start, and then they hit like
made like straight. 9 straight or something.
It's like they all become like Klay Thompson in the zone. Like everybody at the same time. It's not like one guy. It's all of them. It's like everybody makes it. It's crazy.
And the looks, and it's pure. It's like as soon as you shoot it, that's it.
I would just start yelling in my place. I'm watching this going cash. That's bucket.
You're
watching. It's just, it's funny because it's how they get the threes. Like for me, that's my thing. When it's a lot of one-on-one stuff, like, yeah, Tatum's going to make some off the dribble sidestep stuff. Same, Jaylen Brown's going to hit some. If it's Marcus Smart taking one off the dribble, I might as well shoot it. You're going to get the same result. Like it's just not stuff you want. But when it's off of drives and dribble penetration and things like that, that's the difference. And that's what, for me, Boston has 2 offenses. And, you know, I'm going to plug my stuff. I did a one more thing, you know, Jekyll and Hyde of the Boston Celtics offense. The Jekyll being when they get dribble penetration, movement, things like that, they get good looks. When it's one-on-one and everything slows down, they end up struggling because now they're not generating shots. Other guys aren't involved. And that's what you saw. In the third quarter, it was Jekyll. In the fourth quarter, it was Hyde all the way. They kept going at Curry and hunting him, and he did a good job kind of holding up, but the ball stopped moving. And that opened everything. You know, that allowed the Warriors to come back in.
You can do that to them, though, right? Like, the counter to them is to not overreact on the drives. Yep. You make them finish. You make them finish all game.
for four games, they started to not do it as much in game five. I've never seen a team go for shot fakes like the Warriors. I mean, it's like, boing, you know, like they go for every shot fake. It's crazy. Like they've gone, I mean, completely get out of position. And then they stayed down on the ground last night, I thought. And that, I think, helped lead to, as you said, most some really bad possessions in the half court for Boston. And like you said, when the ball doesn't move, they turn it over.
Oh,
they start kicking the ball all over the place, you know. So if you can keep the ball from going strong to weak and you know, changing the sides, then yeah, they have a problem executing. And I think that comes back to, other than, I mean, Brown's pretty good with it. I shouldn't say that. Jaylen's been very good getting to the rim, but for the most part, like, you know, you're not going to really live with too many of those other guys getting to the cup, two dribbles, explosion. You know, it's bang, boom, boom, boom. The ball's just bouncing all over the place.
I think more than anything, Mo, they need a point guard. They need somebody to say, yo, I have the ball.
This sounds like something Mo may have said a dozen times.
I have the ball. Everything is fine. And I'm not saying get rid of Marcus Smart. You don't need that. But those Derek White minutes needs to go to a guy who says, I have the ball. Everything is fine. We're going to get into our sets. We're going to run our offense. Calm down. We're not going to run into people and fall, like, looking for – we're just going to play basketball, fellas. I know most fan that. That's why.
They need a Ricky Rubio type. They need a connector. They need a dude that literally just moves the ball and doesn't think. And White does that from time to time and things like that, but not consistently enough. Like, you know, I've gotten in trouble with Celtics fans. One of my best friends, a diehard Celtics guy. He yells at me all the time when I say these things. They needed that type of guy. And as great as Smart has been, and he's improved on that level this year, you still get moments where Marcus Smart is not smart, I guess, is the best way to put it. And it's those are the things. And you need that guy, that calming influence. It's everything you said, Marcus. Like, hey, let's settle down here, guys.
Horford tried to do that, I think. He tries.
It's got to be somebody with the ball in their hands.
That's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Somebody with the – you see Steph, man. He didn't shoot the ball. 8 assists, 1 turnover. Like, this. We're going to run this pick. Wiggins, get ready. Like, like you just have to have that.
I mean, you
to win a championship. I think that's clear. Not to be great, but to get over the hump of the championship, that type of stuff matters.
And it's just not just Curry. Even, you know, like Draymond to a degree does that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have a lot of guys that can kind of be – it doesn't necessarily –
Andre Iguodala,
It doesn't necessarily have to be a point guard, like, right, a 6'3 guard or whatever. But anybody, right, yeah. Whoever's going to have the ball majority of possessions, because you're not going to get that from Tatum and Brown. And you don't expect that from them. Their job's to score. Mainly and play make second. Smart's the guy that's got to do it. White, when he comes in, he's got to be looking for more playmaking opportunities. And it's hard. And by the way, those guys are hard to come by. You know, it's not. I once did a just in my head number of guys who I would consider connectors, like guys who just ball movement and first and things like that. And there's like five of them, and they're all very expensive. You know, it's Rubio got hurt, that killed everybody. But you know, you're looking at Lonzo Ball in Chicago. He's making a large contract. Obviously, Chris Paul is probably the very best, but he's also 1,000 years old at this point. And we saw how it went this year in the playoffs. There's not a lot of them, and it's hard to find them. So you got to kind of develop that a little bit, and it's hard to even just develop that skill.
Yeah. I don't want to overreact to a loss, because that's what happens in the playoffs and in the finals especially, because all Boston
Lean
has
in,
to do,
DA.
All Boston has to do is – they just got to win a game at home. That's all they got to do. Right. Like, I mean, you know, they got to win one game at home, and then they're playing one game for the championship, you know. So I don't want to overreact, but what does Boston have to do to win game six? Besides the obvious, don't turn the ball over 18 times. We understand that.
I think, one, they got to get the ball moving on offense. It's like we just said, you know. And what sucks, DA, about this, especially when you try to be – when I try to analyze these things, it is just kind of the most obvious stuff. That's the problem. It's like they're actually simple fixes. It's not just don't turn the ball over. Stop having live ball turnovers, right? You can't have those in particular. I'd rather you punt it out of bounds hand it to Steph Curry and let him go for a run on those things. And I think that, because that stuff triggers the Warriors. I mean, Marcus, you've seen it more than anybody else. They get going and they start running. It's like, honestly, it's running with their hair on fire. They're going completely nuts. And I think you have to settle down in that instance from that point. I think defensively, they got to kind of figure out what they want to do. Marcus and I were talking a little bit before this. You know, game four, hey, we're going to let Curry get his stuff and hold everybody else down. Game five, we're going to stop Curry, but then everybody else started to go off. Wiggins had an unbelievable night. Klay going 5 of 11 from three and getting a lot of open looks. Like, you got to start figuring out how you want to defend this. And at this point in the series, like, you can't keep switching. Like, and your philosophy, not switching the picks, but your philosophy, like, that's the problem.
What would make the most sense? Game four defense or game five defense?
I'm going to go game four defense, and I'm nervous because none of this ever makes me comfortable, but I don't want to bet on, I wouldn't feel comfortable if I got to bet on Wiggins again. He's been great, but like, is he going to have another monster night like this? I mean, he also went 0 for 6 from 3. Klay, regularly inconsistent, you know, is throughout all of this stuff, coming back from the knee injuries and stuff. That's the stuff there. So I think I would just focus on, like, let's just not let the other guys kill us, you know? They almost won that game with Curry going off for 43 points.
But don't play drop coverage on Curry.
Please, for the love of God, no. Like, I'm about to break a TV. I'm going to throw something here pretty soon. It frustrates the hell out of me.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Well, feeling the message to the guys is to be confident going home, get your rest, and then let's get ready to bring it back here. So for us, it's really about consistency. And that's the thing we're not having throughout a full game. It's a consistent effort, sustained effort. More so offensively than anything. And so that's the part where we got to have carry over from quarter to quarter, not only game to game, but even quarter to quarter, like we saw in the third, and it doesn't happen in the fourth. So obviously we're all frustrated with tonight a little bit, but even prior, you know, quarters and games. And so our message is to take it one at a time. We've been here before and did it against Milwaukee. And let's bring it back out to the Bay.
Yeah. Here's the problem with the philosophy, and I think Ime was kind of right initially. Even in the game where they said, let's take Steph Curry away, he got 22 shots up. And we all know he could make 4 out of 9 the next time, right? The way he plays basketball, you can't really take him away. It's kind of you're probably better off saying, all right, we know what we got with Steph. We can't have Wiggins getting 26. We can't have Poole and Gary Payton getting 29 off the bench, right? I mean, even Draymond, like, all of a sudden had new lanes and new openings, right? Where before he was frustrated to no end because he couldn't do anything, right? To me, even though it's so difficult to watch, and Curry going off is just a different animal and does something to your psyche, like, it makes you overreact defensively. Man, like, they're a machine. This is why, like, when Pat Beverly was like, I'm picking the war, they're not as good defensively with all the movements and the actions and the back. Like, Boston has a vulnerability in that area, right? You saw Robert Williams got out high. Draymond blew by him. We haven't seen Draymond get that at all. But if they could almost play straight up, like, yo, make these dudes beat us off the dribble one-on-one, like, it just felt like a more feasible plan because you're just not keeping Steph Curry for getting shots up. The court's too big.
The philosophy of we're going to take a player completely out, is extremely flawed in the sense of you can't take any of these best dudes out, right? Yeah, like they're all going to find they're the top players in the NBA for a reason. And that's what makes it hard. They will find their opportunities in all of that, those things. So I'm with you with Marcus. I just think you got to try to, you can't get beat by the other dudes.
Yeah. So I did this during the game, and this is why I hate Twitter so much sometimes. As a joke, I said, well, if the Warriors win the series and Andrew Wiggins has been the best two-way guy in the series, doesn't he get MVP? You know, like, and you would have thought, oh,
you knew exactly what you were doing.
You were kicking the Hornets nest. You were kicking the Hornets nest.
Kick the nest and then be like, I hate this. I hate bees.
He's the dude, he's the kid at the park, right? Throwing rocks at the nest, and then when the family comes, he leaves.
And then afterwards, somehow, see, this is why I don't like bees.
I literally said, I know you're going to hit me in the head with a mallet. I literally said that in the tweet. But I'm just saying, and he's been the one guy that has made Tatum very inefficient and the best rebounder, and he's getting buckets. So
I'll say, he's getting buckets, and a lot. Curry should get a percentage off of those buckets.
No question.
I think that's a lot of it. Like, right. I think those are the, you know, Mark is saying, like, all the driving lanes opened and opportunities are there. Now, Wiggins is playing unbelievable. The rebounding has been crazy the last two games, you know. 29 rebounds total over two games, like that's an impressive feat for a wing player. We'd be happy if a big man did that. Like, this is one of those things. So, you know, there's a small case to be made, but to me it's still gotta be Curry. I mean, assuming everything let's just say now if Wiggins goes for like 45 in Boston,
right,
that case gets a lot bigger, you know, but I still think I think Curry so far has been the reason why.
No, the gravity. I get it. The gravity of Steph Curry.
I don't even know if it's just like the gravity. I mean, to me, the answer is always in the defense. Like we learn a lot about this stuff by what the defense is saying. Like, who is Andrew Wiggins guarding? See, he ain't guarding Jaylen Brown.
Right.
Right. Like the defense is telling you, who's the guy we have to stop? Now, Wiggins has been incredible. Somebody, in order to win a championship, somebody has to take advantage of that. They just do. They have to. And Wiggins has been the one to do it. But, like, I mean, obviously, the Boston is saying, hey, this is the guy, right? I mean, Jaylen Brown's played the best this series, to me, from the Celtics' perspective. Like, but he's getting one-on-one coverage while the defense is saying, hey, we got the main guy and we got the help ready for Tatum, right?
Yeah.
Like those varying degrees help. But also, to me, the way Steph is playing defense, make this not even a question. Like, I mean, the way he's holding up while being attacked and carrying the offense.
Being hunted every play,
Like they're coming for him, and like it's uncanny how they cannot – like the game three, he has in foul trouble, they got him. But since then, it's like, yo, they're not converting on these. No. It's almost like, stop doing it.
No, that's
Jordan Poole. Like,
that's what hurt their offense in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
It came to a screeching halt. They all suddenly started like, hey, let's go at Curry over and over and over.
You just
you weren't getting results. You got to change.
Right.
You know, I felt like that's a big thing. And Marcus, you're right. Like, Curry's defense has been awesome.
He's been terrific. If the Warriors pull this off, I can't seem to get the math right in my head. Their first title was in 15, right? So that would be is it 4 in 7 years or 4 in 8 years?
4 in 8.
4 in 8 years. Okay. Where does this put them? Where would that put them in the pantheon? Because,
man, they'd be the absolute greatest NBA team of all time from the Bay Area.
from the Bears. This comes from the author of the Dynasty.
Who's arguing with this? Who got beef? Who got beef with that statement? You find a better team in the Bay Area.
I know. Oh, Lord. Don't let Rick Barry hear this.
Is this the Giants?
Lord.
Is this the Giants? San Francisco Giants coming at you?
Oh, I mean, they're right up there. They're up there with the best. I mean, you think about
it. They're there with the Spurs, right? I mean, the Spurs took longer, but they were good for longer, right?
The one thing that's more impressive about the Warriors dynasty, and even though they lost some of these, five straight finals is freaking hard.
Yeah.
Like, there's just an element of, you know, fatigue and wearing down and so on. Like, and I get it. They had KD, all that stuff, and everybody's going to say the noise, but still freaking hard. It's not an easy thing to do. It's so hard in that sense. And then to make it this year with Klay still not fully back to being Klay and all the ups and downs and stuff they've had over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
They win this title. It's a remarkable feat. 4 in 8 years, DA. Like, I'm putting them up there with some of the best teams that we've seen in even the 80s and 90s. Like, you know,
no question.
You know, I
no
think question. They got to be right there.
It reminds me of the Showtime Lakers. Not only because like there's this point guard kind of generated, you know, magic, so to speak, right? All kind of centered off that. But I mean, these teams, like the contributions, like when it's all said and done, so many of these guys will be recognized as great because of it. It wasn't just Magic and Kareem, right?
No,
we you know, like they had guys, they had dudes.
James Worthy, right? Like, to me,
Michael
the most
Cooper,
underappreciated Scott, great player of all time.
I feel like the Warriors, like their ability to kind of have these other, like Wiggins is going to be in that now if they win a title, right? Like,
that's amazing,
and it's a tribute to like the core star, like. Just like it was a tribute to Magic and Kareem, you know what I'm saying? You put these pieces around them, they can go. It could be Norm Nixon and Silk one, you know what I'm saying? And then fast
it's
forward,
Michael Thompson.
It feels like that to me, where you just kind of keep retooling and keep coming at you, and you got this guy with the ball in his hands who's just magnetic and special, right? And you got all these other great. It just feels like that, you know what I'm saying? And fittingly. You know, Steph had his struggles, and remember they're comparing him to Tragic Johnson and all that.
And he
comes back. And then now I looked this up last night. If they win this in game six, they will join Matt. The 85 Lakers is the only team to win a championship in Boston. Nobody's ever done it outside of the 85 Magic Lakers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To like clinch a title in Boston.
Right.
Which there's probably like ghosts preventing it from happening.
There's probably Red Auerbach sitting on the rim.
You know what I'm saying? It's all kind of stuff happening. Like, you may win it. You're not going to win it here. Right.
Right.
I feel like there's a lot of mystique comparisons between these two, just how they go about their business and how electrifying they are and how magnetic they are as a team. To me, I just get a lot. I remember that, you know, I was a youngster and, you know, that.
Hey, Mo, that's back before when the Warriors fans were Laker fans.
I remember that quite well. Where the Warriors was your A team, but when the playoffs started, the Lakers was your B team.
Now it's just flipped. And by the way, that's the way it works for the Laker fans now, Marcus. You telling me right now as a Laker fan, they're not united and hoping that the Warriors will beat the Celtics? Yes, they're all in on that.
They don't want 18 to happen.
No, they do not. They do not, for sure. But the Celtics are so gangster, man. They had us up literally in the rafters this time. But it was cool. But you know what? It was cool because I'd never been eye level with the banners before. Oh my God. They just keep coming, banner after banner after banner. No, they ain't got no conference championships up in the
division titles.
No.
I mean, if they did, it'd be like, can you imagine if they put all those up there?
There'd be no upper deck. It would just be banners.
We just put rings up here, son.
What if they put division championships up there, Mo?
It would be too much.
1989. not Atlantic Division champions.
They had to be heckin' small. I mean, little napkins.
It's either that or they'd have to lose seating, right? Like,
it would be ridiculous. Come on, man. You can't do that. I can't wait for game six just because I think they're going to bring everybody that can walk will be there. Every legend will be there that can get there because they put that wall up. You see Parrish and them standing like this. Nah, not tonight.
Not tonight, baby.
That would almost put more pressure on these Celtics, though, yes. Right? Like, we can't lose this in front of these legends at home. Yes. Like, that would be, I would almost be like, that might backfire. It might be a guy in the market.
But they got to deal with that all the time anyway.
Serious question, though. They played 2 7-game series to get here. They're essentially down to five guys.
Six. I mean, they're playing White. Six. We'll count White.
But he's like replacing Robert, right? So.
Six
guys. You know, they're playing Grant Williams, but
yes.
I mean, they're down to their last. They look tired. Like, how much?
Yes.
At what point does fatigue? I mean, I know incredible. But at some point, it just gets to be a lot, doesn't it?
Somebody did tweet this, I think, today. Like, they could have, if they had taken care of Miami in game six at home, right? So that extra 2.5 days of travel and practice and then a game. And then, you know, if they gave away the rest advantage to Golden State by a lot, right? Because Golden State had a week off before the finals. So, I think they are a little tired. I mean, they did spank Brooklyn, but then it was tough 7 games against Milwaukee, tough 7 games against
Miami. They beat, like, Terminator characters, too, and, like, and Jimmy Butler,
right? The T-1000.
Ain't no easy win.
By the way, David, the guy who tweeted that, really, really smart guy.
Me. That was you. That was you. That's my show prep. I was trying to
No, but that's the cost, right? That was the cost of losing game six. Like, I'll be honest with you, going into game six against Miami, I was like, hey, they win this. I'm picking them to beat the Warriors in the finals. Like, I think they'll be fine. The second they lost that, I was like, oh, man, the Warriors are going to win them. And to go through, and even them beating the Nets, those were four tough games.
Right.
They got the rest behind it. And then everything else after that, right, has just
rock
been
fight.
Nonstop, right? And
yes.
The toll it takes, just a single 7-game series takes just so much energy out of your life, not just physically, but mentally. It's really draining and things like that. Like, I was with the Clippers, where I've won 2 7-game series. We were exhausted at the end of each of those. Like, no energy going into the next round. And you're just like, that's the cost of business right there. That's the cost of not taking care of your business. So they're exhausted. And I get that, but it's like, man, that's why you got to win game six at home.
Yeah.
Right. And then you play, I mean, Miami is just, they never stop. They just keep coming at you and just hitting you and just pounding you, you know, like they never stop.
And they're after Giannis, right?
After Giannis, it just keeps coming at you, you know, I mean, maybe
Tatum is going to play DA 1,000 minutes. In these playoffs.
He's going to play 43 the top a three, night.
The top 3 minutes players are Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford before you get to Clay and Steph. But Jason Tatum is approaching 200 minutes more than any Warrior. Like,
that's crazy.
And that's who's got the ball in his hands to make the plays at the end of games. Like, at some point, he's got to be a human, right?
I mean, you would hope.
No, that's fair.
But the other thing that's really interesting, I went back and looked at this, and some of this might be his shoulder and stuff and fatigue. Jason Tatum hasn't had a dunk since game six of the Eastern Conference Finals. Wow. Like, that's and for a guy who's athletic as all hell, like, I thought he'd I was thinking, like, okay, he probably got like a freebie layup dunk in game one or something in transition. He has not dunked the ball since game six. And we can talk about the shoulder being sore and things like that. That's fatigue. That's all of that. That's being tired. Yeah. That's also a little bit of being tired, not wanting to be as aggressive, not wanting to attack the rim in that same vein. Like, that's an interesting thing to me where I look at it going like, that's what makes me go, like, I don't think they can win. Even if this goes to seven, I just don't know how they have the energy. I'd be blown away if they do.
Yeah. I wanted to get to this before we wrap it up. I mean, because it's been...
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
This has been an interesting series. I don't think this has been an especially well-played series.
No.
You know what I mean? Like it's been competitive and exciting at times, but we haven't had that classic finals game. You know what I mean? Where it's just back and forth and back and forth and trading blows and it's a three-point game with a minute left. We have not had that game yet, and I wonder if it's fatigue, but I also wonder if it's just two great defenses just really gumming up the works against each other.
Yeah, I think Marcus.
Yeah, I think I do feel like we've got that series. It's just on defense. We've got the trading blows, but it's guys making stops. The refs are letting a lot go.
Yeah,
on both ends. Like, like which I like. Right, like
absolutely.
At some point, everybody needs to stop complaining and ball. Right, exactly. Like it's clutch game. Like let's just play. This is what it is. No blood, no foul. This is finals. Let's go. And I think you're seeing like people make plays defensively. They're just doing it. They're making plays on both ends. Like Marcus Smart, like they're when he's on a guy, the guy just is out. Yeah. Like they're not just like he's out.
Just
it's
not
like,
scoring.
Either give me a screen or I'm moving the ball. Right. Like this is some elite level stuff on both ends. Like I think we're seeing. Like I know it's like a not the those aren't the best Super Bowls, but it's the two deep great defenses going against each other in the Super right. Bowl. Like that's yeah, what it is. Right.
So. It's a 13-10 Super Bowl, and we're right. all just it's, like,
what was it? What was it? Patriots and who in the Super Bowl?
Rams.
10-3.
Rams.
Yeah. Maybe that's what
my,
this is.
My
yeah.
Rams fandom, my lifelong of 4 years fandom of being a Rams fan since they moved back to LA. That one hurt. We got it back. We got it last year. It's fine. But. Yeah. The defense is what makes it so interesting in that sense. Like it's I can get it because aesthetically it's not going to be pretty. That's right. That's the problem with it. The one thing I'll say too about the refs, if you know they're not going to call much, you got to stop flopping. You got to stop trying to sell these calls. You got to stop because you're giving up buckets, you know? And I think that's something, you know, some people like Boston fans were really pissed about the refereeing last night. I'm like, yo, stop trying to draw a foul every time and just play defense. You're a great defensive team. You don't need to do this. And I think what you're saying in terms of the finals kind of not being as the way we want it. We want it coming down to a final possession here, right? Like we want it to be either in Curry's hands or Tatum's hands for a shot to win it. And I don't know if we're going to get it because just the defense is so impressive on both ends. The way they get the ball out of other guys' hands and double teams. And those guys doing a great job themselves of not forcing something, right? Like sometimes we want them to force them. like, yo, Kobe thinking every shot
put on
over
that Kobe
four
armband
people.
Yeah, and exactly. go, right?
Yeah. You know? Oh, does the Kobe armband make it for game six? Do we think we're going to see the Kobe armband back?
That's a good question. Good question. Ooh, that's will he rock the Kobe shoes? I wonder.
Oof. It's just weird when I see the purple and gold on him in the Celtics. It's just so, I get so it. I get all of
all
it.
Right, I get it. But it's I like, get the love. I get the love.
But you're on Boston.
Yeah, it's different. It's just different.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's just so different.
but for me, this series has been exciting in terms of at least watching the swings defensively and how everybody's dealing with it, besides the whole drop coverage, which is I'm going to pull some hair out here pretty soon. But overall, like they're making some interesting adjustments. Like the Warriors going from switching through four games, deciding like, hey, we're just going to show really hard in game five. Like that's just a nice wrinkle that Kerr just threw at them where it's like Celtics are like, yo, what's going on? And there's a lot of stuff going back and forth on both sides. That's what makes it hard for other people to see, right? Like, cause it's the defensive adjustments that's changing everything.
The defensive IQ in this series is incredibly high.
It's off the charts.
Right? Like, it's incredibly
high.
It's
off the charts. How good the defense has been on both sides, both teams, has been incredible. And I just wonder, like, you know, I don't know what the ratings are going to be, and it's impossible kind of to really judge ratings now and kind of not in a vacuum, you know, because everybody ascribes political judgments on ratings being up or ratings being down, you know, which is just preposterous, I think. But I wonder if people are enjoying two defense first teams, you know, like as great as Steph has been, Steph's had the one breakout game, right? He hasn't had a series of 40 point games where he's just been unstoppable. And I just wonder if people enjoy that. I do, but I don't know if America does, you know? Well,
how much should people enjoy that 10-3 Super Bowl?
I loved it. Yeah. But again, did America love it?
Right.
I don't know.
That's the thing. Like most people are like, yo, it's boring. And this, like, there's an element of that. And I think there's, which is funny, by the way, because everybody goes nuts about how there's no defense in the regular season. Everybody complains. Right. The offense has it too easy. As soon as we get a defensive series, if you're not entertained by this, I don't ever want to hear you complain about offense again. Because that's what we're talking about here. And I think, you know, again, I'm with you. I'm really enjoying it, but I won't be surprised if we see that a lot of people are turned off by it.
Yeah, I think it's incredible. The requirement of high level offense that it takes to beat great defense is like peak NBA. Yes. When these dudes are getting buckets, these are buckets, right? Like, this is elite stuff, man.
The 43 points were amazing from Steph. They weren't easy.
This is elite stuff. But to your point, DA ratings are like, you know, they've been bragging about them. They must feel pretty good about them.
I mean, they're the best since before the pandemic. Yeah. But that's not saying that's,
yeah, like what are we talking about? Like, right. Those years don't count.
right.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not like it's,
there was a pretty riveting playoff series last year that I thought was pretty good. I do think people like watching Steph. I do think Boston brings its own element, you know.
Absolutely.
And I do think the fact that it was 2-1, Warriors were down, and you go into Boston like that, like in the end, like you know, you want a series, and the fact that we got one, I think was pretty good. I think Game 6 is going to be crazy. People are going, how do you not tune into Game 6 if you like hoop?
Of course. That's,
So I think it's doing a trick. I don't think it's going to go down as, where were you when you, unless something like crazy happens. It's not going to be like that. Where were you when he did this?
Right.
It's just great basketball generally.
No, it's been terrific. I'll go seven just because I love game seven finals. But if it doesn't, it doesn't. So it's been fun and I've enjoyed it. And we've enjoyed having you on, Mo. It's at Mo_NBA on Twitter. For smart, intelligent basketball coverage. We like smart, intelligent people, so we love having you on the show. My man, thank you for joining us, bro.
Oh, no, thank you guys for having me. I've been so excited to get to be on here. I was bouncing around all day today.
I got one more thing for you.
Oh, here we go.
You like that, huh? You like that? What
Mo sent us a YouTube link earlier. I'm not going to get it. That's all I'm going to say.
Is Game 6 Clay a possibility in Boston?
I think so. I think it's funny. Like, if you look at it, he's slowly kind of ramped up. Hit a couple of shots in Game 4, 5 of 11 in Game 5. Like, you know, and he's well aware of Game 6 Clay. He knows that's his thing. I think it's really possible. I still think I'm going to make the prediction and say Boston's still going to win Game 6.
I got that feeling myself. Yeah,
if there's a Game 6 Clay, then Boston doesn't win.
Agreed.
But I can see it not happening. I can also see him trying to make it happen, which works against
them. Leprechauns and shit. You know, I don't know.
but Marcus, the point of him trying to make it happen is what scares me. Because he has forced some bad shots, and sometimes it's after he's made a three. It's like I'm hot now, right? It's like me. It's me after I have one good idea. I think the next one's gonna be amazing, and it rarely turns out that way. And I feel like that's the thing.
Clay can get hot from a shot he visioned in his head. He'd be like, all right, I'm hot now.
Give me the rock.
That's an amazing skill.
it is impeccable, man. I wish I had that ability to feel like I'm just constantly in the zone.
What is it? It's not arrogance. It's almost
illusion.
Irrational confidence. Yes.
Like,
you have no reason to be this confident, sir. You're one of nine.
You missed your last 50 shots. What are you doing? Well, I'm due. The next one's going in.
But also, I imagine that's what happens when you've scored 37 in a quarter, right?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
When you scored 60 in 29 minutes. I'd probably
It's all fair.
right. All right, y'all, listen to us and give us that 5-star review on Apple, on Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this American podcast. Marcus, if you're a Lakers fan, if you're a Warriors fan, if you're a Celtics fan, and you don't want to give us 5 stars, what do you need to do?
You need to keep it to yourself.
You haters.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. $5. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.